right. So we're discussing Hefsek Tara and Shiva Nekiyim. So Hefsek Tara, as we've said, based on Shitas Rambam, seems to be a Din D'oraisa, that there's no real easy way around doing a Hefsek Tara. So let's talk about what the easy way around doing a Hefsek Tara is. Not easy way, but is there any way around doing a Hefsek Tara? Meaning, what if a woman has a maka that will never allow for a clean bedikah, for whatever reason or another, so she knows that anytime she sticks something inside of herself, there's going to be blood on it. So Hefsek Tara, you know, you have to establish with certainty that there's no more bleeding. So is there any way to do a Hefsek Tara without the ability to actually do a Hefsek Tara, without the ability to do a Bedikas Charanu Stakin with a clean cloth? So there are three suggested solutions in the poskim, varying degrees of acceptability, but here are the three. First suggested solution, Rabbi Kiveger quotes a Zichron Yosef, and Rabbi Sablovsky brings all three of these, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Sablovsky brings all three of these in his Sefer, that Rabbi Kiveger quotes from a Zichron Yosef the following issue. The Gemara on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis says that a man who comes home and calculates just by cheshbon that his wife should have stopped bleeding based on his knowledge of her cycle, he can assume that she's tahora, meaning if he assumes that she should have stopped bleeding and had time to go to the mikveh, so he's allowed to make that assumption that all of that happened, that she stopped bleeding and that she taka went to the mikveh. The Gemara says, how does he know she went to the mikveh? Meaning, even if you could rely on the fact that her cycle would have ended by now, her dam would have ended by now, how does he know she went to the mikveh? Whatever the Gemara's answer is, the Gemara never asks, how did he know she did a Hefsek Tara? The Gemara is only bothered, how did he know she went to the mikveh? The Gemara is never bothered, how does he know that she did a Hefsek Tara? So apparently, his knowledge that she stopped bleeding is enough to replace a Hefsek Tara. Meaning absolute knowledge that based on her track record, by now she must have stopped bleeding, is the equivalent of a Hefsek Tara. So therefore, says the Zichron Yosef, if a woman never bled more than a certain number of days, you know, some women aren't exactly consistent in terms of how long they bleed. They'll sometimes bleed 4 days, sometimes 5 days, sometimes 6 days. It's 9 days into it. She never bleeds more than 6 or 7 days. So she's never bled beyond this point. Just having that number of days pass is enough to count as a Hefsek. So Rabbi Kiveger discusses this in Tshuvas and Simas Samach in the Tshuvas. So he rejects the Zichron Yosef because he says, you're right, that's a good raya from that Gemara. But that sugya works with the assumption that Vestos Daraisa, and we pask in Vestos Rabbanim. Meaning, what is it? You're relying on a Veset. You're relying on the idea that she has a track record, and that track record will, you know, continue. So, okay, you're allowed to rely on a Veset if you hold Vestos Daraisa. But to rely on it as a Hefsek Tara, where Hefsek Tara is a requirement midaraisa, when we hold Vestos Rabbanan, so relying on her patterns to assume a Hefsek, says Rabbi Kiveger, that would not work. No? Meaning, the idea that Vestos Daraisa is the idea that we can rely on a track record of her patterns. So we'll get there. Okay, good. So this is part of the discussion in the Akron.
Now, does she ever have a track to begin with? Meaning, if she has a maka, she's always, anytime she does a bedika, she's seeing blood.
Bedika.
She has
a maka, but she knows that she's had her cycle her whole life, and it's never gone longer than X number of days. Good. So Rabbi Kiveger doesn't like this Zichron Yosef because he says it's a good raya from the Gemara, but the Gemara is assuming Vestos Daraisa, and we pass Vestos Rabbanan. So the Achronim try to figure out why Vestos are only Rabbanan, and depending which explanation you accept as to why Vestos are only Rabbanan, we might be able to answer with the Zichron Yosef. Meaning, going back to the sugya of Vestos, which I guess is much fresher in your minds than in mine, in terms of your chazara, but going back to the sugya of Vestos, we can go back to figure out why do we hold it. Meaning, Vestos seem to be like a pretty good chazaka, so why is it only Derabanan? Why aren't Vestos Da'oraisa? And based on the svara that you're going to say as to why Vestos are not Da'oraisa, we might be able to defend the Zichron Yosef from the attack of Rabbi Kiveger. So first, Says that the cheskas tahara that she has based on that she has based on beforehand conflicts with the chazaka of arech bezman haba, meaning the veset is that she will bleed at X day, or whenever that day is, day 28, day 30, whatever that day is. So prior to that, she had a cheskas tahara, but now you have a chazaka that she's going to bleed on time, and they cancel each other out. So even though in a chinami, you have a veset is a set pattern, right? So you know that that's a chazaka, and it's a legitimate chazaka, it's a real chazaka, it should count as a chazaka. So it should determine that she's Tameya, but there's a counter chazaka. And the counter chazaka is that she had a cheskas tahara prior to that. Therefore, the chazaka of the veset is not going to be strong enough to say that she's Tameya midar raisa. Similarly, at the end of her cycle, the established status of not bleeding, that she's not bleeding after a certain number of days, should cancel out the established status of being asur to her husband, and she should be muteres until proven otherwise, and that should revive the zichron yosef again at the end of her cycle. So what's the veses telling us at the end of her cycle? It's telling us it's over, that the cycle is over, right? So prior to that, we thought that she had a chazaka that she was already asura to her husband because she was bleeding. But now this chazaka cancels out the other chazaka, and therefore the Zichron Yosef would assume that that's in... Well, no, how does that work? That would be the opposite, right? Right? It wouldn't work. Right? That if you say that the Zichron Yosef holds that two cancelled out chazakas means you have no chazaka, right? That you have nothing, you would need something positive for a hafsik tahara, l'chara. So that l'chara would not work. Okay? That's, yeah?
So just to clarify, methodologically, you're saying that in order to deal with this issue, we're either going to have to put up a mahalach that says that best odito raita, or we're going to have to just say, let's find a way to circumvent that issue of best odito raita. And that way, we can still...
Meaning even though vestos are derabanan, that... You know how it applies to our case. The reason that vessels are downgraded to the Rabbanan may not apply to our case, and therefore this vessel of the end of the cycle may in fact be Doraisa, right? The vessel of when her cycle is going to end, when her bleeding is going to stop, may in fact be Doraisa. So because again, vessel is just chazaka; it's a track record, so it should be Doraisa. If you have some explanation why it's Rabbanan, so the first explanation is not the Yehuda's explanation that it's the Rabbanan because the cheskas tahora conflicts with the chazaka of the veset of erech bizmano ba. So what do we want to say? So at the end of her cycle, the chazaka of erech bizmano, you know, not ba, but you know, yotze, that the guest is going to leave, that the dam is going to stop, is countered by the cheskas iser that she has, Right, and l'chora, that should be a problem, right? That should be a problem, l'chora, yeah?
Is it so pashut that we assume that for every single positive chazaka that we have in Hilchot Nida, there's the opposite negative chazaka? And for Orech Bezman Haba, does that necessarily mean that there's an Orech Bezman Yotze?
Lav Dafka, we're going to have to see. That's another possible analysis. Right, there's another saying also, right? That it's lav dafka that there's such a chazaka of when it stops. Okay, but that's another view though. So I'm just trying to think. I think Rabbi Sablovsky said the other way. I think Rabbi Sablovsky still said that it's that this should revive the Zichron Yosef. How should this revive the Zichron Yosef? That should be a chazaka that she's muteres. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Which side of the first chazaka for the Orech Bezman Haba and the Veses? Are we lining up her, like what the Hesek Tara does with? Meaning, in the first one, in the first side, yeah. the fact that she has a Veses is not going to beat out Orech Bezman Haba.
Meaning they'll cancel each other out. Meaning, so Arech Bezman Oba is not going to be strong enough to create a real chazak on a Doraisa level.
Because she was
Becheskas
Tahal.
So it should not be able to be a Hefsek Tara on a Doraisa level because she was Becheskas Tameya. Right, that's Luchoru what it should be. I think Rabbi Sadlovsky said otherwise. No one has it? Anyone have it? Rabbi Sadlovsky's book here?
I don't have the book, but just trying to understand these two things. The chazaka that she will stop bleeding, isn't that just speaking very directly to the chazaka that she's still bleeding in a way that isn't necessarily the case the other way? Like,
no, because Cheskas Tahara is ruined by bleeding. It's by Orech Bezmanoba, so it also speaks directly. Over here, it's actually less direct, because the Chazaka that she's Temeya is not necessarily a Chazaka that she's bleeding. I don't know if a woman has a Chazaka that she has a Chazaka that she's Temeya. So that Chazaka that she's Temeya is not really going away. Just because she doesn't have Sektara, she's still Temeya. So it could be, one second, it could be that maybe that's what Vysadlovsky means, that there is no real counter Chazaka. Because we're not trying to say that she's not Temeya anymore. We're just trying to say that she stopped bleeding. Maybe that's how he says it. That must be it, right? Meaning that there is no counter Chazaka on this side of things. Because what are we trying to say? That she has, that the Veset is a Chazaka that the bleeding is over. Right? The Veset is a Chazaka that the bleeding is over. There's no Chazaka that the bleeding is not over. The fact that she bled is not a Chazaka that the bleeding is not over. She has a status of a Cheskas Temeya. That's not changing when the bleeding ends. That only changes when she goes to the mikveh. Maybe that's how to rectify the Zichron Yosef. That's what must be what Rabbi Sadlovsky meant. We'll have to take a look after, look in the Sefer, but that must be what he meant. The second approach, the second Mahalik he quotes, is from the Mlo HaRoim, as to why is it Vestos are not Doraisa. So he says, Vestos can't be a Raya Doraisa that she bled, because if she would have bled, she would have had a Hargasha. So absent a Hargasha, you can't say that I'm going to rely on a Veset that she bled. Meaning there's a counter indicator that she must not have bled because she didn't have Hargasha. Ooh. So when you're dealing with relying on Vestos to prove that she stopped bleeding, there's no counter indicator. Right? Shitaka doesn't have any Hargashas right now, and by this time she should have stopped bleeding. Mimela, the Veset should be Daraisa. The Veset that she stops bleeding should be Daraisa. Once again reviving the Zichron Yosef. So according to the Mora Rome's Mahalik as to why Vestos are only Drabanan and not Daraisa, the reason they're only Drabanan is because there is a counter-indicator that she didn't have Argasha. So how could you say that you're 100% sure that she's bleeding? Without Argasha, you can't be certain of blood. But over here, there's no counter-indicator for stopping to bleed. So Mela, all you have is the Veset, that she's finished bleeding. And that would defend the Zichron Yosef. And then you have the Chaznish. Chaznish in Yerdeh Simen Pei Os Yotes. Simen Pei Os Yotes. Says, no, you know why Vesos is Rabbanan? It's because history is a lousy predictor of the future. Especially when it comes to a woman's hormones. There are women that, their cycles change entirely as they age. They go through pregnancy and nursing, whatever. Their cycles change entirely. And it could matter based on, where they're living, altitude, their change in diet. All of a sudden they're gluten-free and their body starts functioning entirely differently. There are all sorts of factors that go into a woman's Veset. And therefore, that's why Vestos are Drabanan. Because it's just a lousy predictor. It's not a good enough chazak on a Daraisa level. It would seem, if that's correct, it would seem that the Zichron Yosef is taka incorrect. Meaning, if that's the reason the Vestos are not Daraisa, so it should be a lousy predictor of when women's cycles will end also. However, Rabbi Sadlovsky points out that maybe even the Chazanish would agree that the beginning of a period is unpredictable and is subject to other factors, but maybe the end of a period is not as subject to other factors. Meaning, maybe when a woman's cycle kicks in, is going to depend on a lot of different things. But once it kicks in, her cycle will be her cycle, meaning her period will be her period. I don't know. I'm not convinced by that at all. I don't think that's true. The length of time that women bleed changes drastically throughout their lives. So, you know, so women who, granted, we have a lot of hormones that are, you know, typically mixed in these cases nowadays, but there are women that used to bleed very, very, very heavily that now barely bleed at all, and vice versa. So I don't know about that. But Rabbi Sablowski wanted to say that on the Pashut level, the Chazon Ish's understanding of why Vestos are not Daraisa would make it that the Zichron Yosef is incorrect. But maybe, even according to the Chazon Ish, there's a way to salvage the Zichron Yosef. So when you keep score, right, three reasons why Vestos are not Daraisa, the Behuda, Melo Rolim, and Chazon Ish, two out of the three would actually defend the Zichron Yosef. Right, the Nadbi Huda of the Cheskes Tahara conflicting with the Chazak Arech B'Zman Haba. Well, you don't really have that over here. You don't have anything to counter the Arech B'Zman Uyetze. And the Melo Roim, that Vestos are not a Raya D'Araisa, because you never had Argasha. Over here, there's no counter indicator. It's only according to the Chazon Ish that the Zichron Yosef is in fact going to have a problem. No.
I have a question about whether Vestos are right or not. That's just based on whether we have a pasuk for it. Why are we going through all the mechanics? It's hard to know. What's the
star
that it would be
do right
nevertheless?
I guess the limud from Shara Muad, you know, like, why is it a good comparison or a bad comparison?
I feel like this is
right, if there's no pasuk, it's not the right. But maybe not. Maybe we could, the limud from Shara Muad would be a legitimate limud.
Wouldn't that be the svara, not thinking about the pilpul of whether this chazak?
No, but we're saying that you can't make a limud if there's something fundamentally different about this, meaning that it's not a normal chazaka. Maybe. And also remember, it could be that there's a difference between Vestos Daraisa in terms of being, you know, prospective and retrospective. Okay. So these are the three mahalchim. The Sidrei Tara in Oschav Gimel, Dibur Maschel Ella, points out that the Pashtus of the Mishnah, the Samach Chesem and Aleph, is that the Zichron Yosef is not correct. Because it talks about a Bedika for a Hafsek Tara and never mentions the possibility of just waiting. Right? It says, what happens if a woman did a Bedika and Matzah Tameya, and then 15 days later, she does another Bedika and Matzah Tahora, she's Tameya the whole way through. She had a chazaka that she always bleeds that long. No, she never. Maybe she never bleeds that long, and that's good enough, and that would count as a hafsek tara. So just pashtus of the Mishnah is not like the Zichron Yosef. Chazon Ish defends it, and he says that the Mishnah might be talking about a woman who doesn't have a predictable end time to her bleeding. But you know, everyone's got some predictable end time, meaning there is some number that every woman can say, I never hit that number. You know, I've bled for 7 days. I've bled for 8 days. There's got to be a number where you hit that number, and so it's a hard thing to understand. Even if you rely on Zichron Yosef, it's only for a normal period. But a postmenopausal woman who becomes a nida from some sort of medical procedure, so you know that's not subject to the regular body habits that she has, and therefore you can't rely on the Zichron Yosef. Meaning, so the Zichron Yosef was so kula number one again. Kula number one as to how can you do Hafsek Tara without actually doing Hafsek Tara is the point of the Zichron Yosef. You just have to know that you've hit a point where you wouldn't be bleeding anymore. Conscious of that, that's enough for Hafsek Tara. It's questionable, Rabbi Kivager says, because his Ikar Raya is from a Gemara that assumes Vestos Daraisa. There may be ways to answer Rabbi Kivager, according to the Melo Rome, according to the Nadi Yehuda. There may be ways to answer it, but even if you're going to paskin like the Zichron Yosef, you have to realize it doesn't work for every type of period. That there are some types of period that we know aren't subject to her normal bodily functions, and therefore you can have a problem. That's kula number one. Kula number two, another tzad l'hakel. Nadi Yehuda Madura Kama Yardeisim Mem Vav Yardeisim Mem Tes, and the Shut Chasam Sofer Yardei Kufay and Zayin. They're both medayik from a rivid, that if a woman concentrates and feels no hargasha, I mean, we assume argasha v'lavadaita because she's not properly focused. But if a woman really concentrates and feels no hargasha, that can count as a hafsek tara. Rabbi Sablowski points out, hard to rely on that, l'chavchila, but maybe in combination with the Zichron Yosef. Meaning, if the amount of time passes that normally her period would have ended, her period would always have ended, and then she concentrates and there's no hargasha, maybe in pressing circumstances we could rely on the combination of those two, and then there's the most reliable non-hefsik, and that is the use of a bodekes, and that's what we normally recommend. Meaning, if a woman has, and this comes up, it does happen that women have some sort of maka that they know they're not going to get a clean hefsik because of the maka, but they also know that the period is over, right? So whatever she sticks inside, it's going to come out with some blood on it. So many from communities have a woman who's a trained nurse or a doctor or whatever who will do this as a service. Some of them charge, some of them don't, but will do this as a service to be bodekas, to look inside and say, oh, I see that the dam is coming from that cut and it's not coming from anywhere else. Meaning, if a hefsik tara is only because the assumption over here is, what's the purpose of a hefsik, of taking a cloth and putting a bechorin of a stuck in, is because you can't look inside, so you can't actually see what's going on. So the best way we could figure out what's going on is by taking a cloth and feeling around and being able to guess what's going on. But if you don't have to guess, if you could just look right at it, that might be the best hefsik tara. So if bodekas is able to do it, that would seem maybe even better than a bodika. So that's what typically happens. Just had the other day, I had to send a woman to a bodekas. It happens. You know, it's not so unusual. The problem is there are a lot of times where you can't really have a bodekas, and it's not easy to get an appointment with a doctor. If that's the case, so maybe in very, very extenuating circumstances, some poskim might be willing to rely on the Zichron Yosef in combination with the Diyuk of the Nedibidun Nechsem Sofer from the Raifid, and say that after the amount of time that she wouldn't bleed, that as long as she focuses and knows that there's no Hargasha. It just seems like a little bit strange to me to rely on a focus on no Hargasha when she doesn't even know what Hargasha is supposed to feel like. Meaning, no one ever has a Hargasha, so it's like, it's difficult to me to rely on that.
Do we also assume, just like Pashas, do we assume that a woman has a Hargasha every single time she bleeds throughout the entire, meaning even like...
Meaning that's this assumption, right? The assumption is that she has a Hargasha when she gets her period, but it's always Hargasha of Lavadaita. It's hard to assume that, I understand. Meaning it's a question.
Before, we assume that there
should be every time Dom comes from the
every
Maka.
Every time Dom comes from the Maka, we assume there's a Hargasha with it? Or it's that once the... I was...
That's another assumption that this is making, right? That's another assumption. Because this may depend on what Hargasha is. If Hargasha is, right, in Kuf Pei Gimel, we had 3 days in Pesach Yichud over what Hargasha is. So if Hargasha is that Zivas Dovalach Mi Bifnim, then yeah, she should have Hargasha throughout. If Hargasha is psichas harechem, the psichas hamakar, that only happens when it first opens, l'chora. And then it just flows out. If Hargasha is a zazaguf, I guess it can go each way. Either way. Right? What? Okay, good. But it's difficult, right? So it's certainly making that assumption that Hargasha is going to be an ongoing thing. And it also assumes that nowadays, when a woman doesn't have Hargasha, it's only because she's not paying attention, and not because of Nishtana Ateva. Right? If you assume Nishtana Ateva, so focus on Hargasha should do absolutely nothing for you. Okay. So that's if you're not going to do Hefsik Tara. That concludes our discussion of Hefsik Tara.
If a woman uses Bodeget as a Hefsik Tara, does she have to go back to Bodeget for the Bidikot during Shevinikin?
Oh, so let's discuss Shevinikin. Okay. Let's discuss Shevinikin. How many bedikos are needed during Shevinikin? So the Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Tzadi Vav Sif Dalet is, that's where he talks about the bedikos of Shevinikin. Here, let's do the background first. Mishnah Samachesim Beis is Machlokes about a woman who only did a bedika day 1 and day 7. Right? Three-way Machlokes. What are statuses? Right? What are the three shitos? Either day 1 and day 7 count, but not the other days. Or what? What else? They all count, or?
What?
Or just 7.
Just 7, right? Meaning she missed all the days, if she missed those days, so that knocks out everything before that, so going from day 7, she can go forward. So most Rishonim say that she needs bedikos every day of Shevinikiyim. Balamar thinks even lechadchila, day 1 and day 7 are enough. That we pass on that sheet in Rishonim. But most Rishonim hold not like the Balamar, and assume that you need bedikos every day of Shivanakim lechadchila. The question is, how many bedikos do you need lechadchila on each day of the Shivanakim? So if you look in the Torah, Torah over here in Kuf Tzadi Vav. The Torah writes, "Ubechol shivas yimei asvira tzrich lios bedekas l'chachila ham achas biyom." Torah says, "Pam achas biyom l'chachila." But then he quotes the Sefer HaTrumos, the Sefer HaMitzvos Kasav, Pa'amayim, Achas Shachris Va'achas Arvis. That it's got to be twice, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. So Beis Yosef points out that there are Rishonim on each side of this Machlokas, and when you look at the names of the Rishonim on each side, it's somewhat startling. Right? Those Rishonim that say once a day, the Ramban, Tosfos, the Rashba, the Rush, right? Those Rishonim that say twice a day, Sefer HaTruma, Smak, Smug, Mordechai B'Shem Rokeach. So generally speaking, Yeshiva Shagai, you know, you hear Ramban, Rashba, Taisvas, and it carries a little more weight than Smak, Smug, and Rokeach, no? So you imagine, most of the Rishonim we normally paskin like, say once a day. There are significant Rishonim, but, you know, seemingly the Rishonim that we don't normally rely on Psak Halach and for learning the sugyas, let's say twice a day. Now, where does twice a day come from? So the Mishnah Taf Yud Aleph, Pamayim Tzrichalios Bodeka Shachris Ben Hashmashos. You have to do twice, Shachris and Ben Hashmashos. So the Achronim already point out that that's clearly only Litaros. The Gemara says Beferish that that's only Litaros, that she has to do Bodeka twice a day only because of Taros, and not Labayler. Riki Vega writes this in Chuvasim and Samach over there, that it's only the Taras. So the Sidrei Tara comes up with the following terrors. So he says as follows, meaning how are you going to defend the smack, the Mordechai B'Shem Rokech, it's beferish in the Mishnah, that it's only the Taras that you need twice a day. So he says, V'alfa, gavda sikna hasam, even though the Gemara over there on the base paskins, t'lo amra l'taros, that there's only the Taras, have a l'bay b'dika, the Sidrei Tara kuf tzad yivav sivkot in yadalit. Ukidat al sim kuf be'vav, Hainu dafka li achar shetovla, sharehi becheskas Torah lebayla. Abel besfiros shivanekiyim di becheskas temeya, tzricha bedika pa'amayim shachras hotziyam idei savik shem rasa belayla shalvarav, vavis hotziyam idei savik shem rasa biyom. Di besfiros, zayin nekiyim lebayla, tzricha bedika kemo letaros achar shetovla. Ken kas vabach ledaitam. So he says, ooh, yeah, Lataris and Ibadikas twice a day, only Lataris, not Labaila. That's talking about a woman who is already Tahora. And she's just doing Bedikas to make sure, because you don't want to risk the Taharas. But if a woman is Tameya and she's trying to get out of a Cheskas Tumah, so then you're going to need Bedikas twice a day, even Labaila, because she's Becheskas Tameya and you're trying to change that Chazaka. Lahalacha, Mechaber Paskins and Sevdalid, Bechol Yom Yishuv Simeya Svirut, Tzrich Liyos Bedekas. L'chachila pa'amayim b'chol yom achshak zachas amulvein hashmashos. So he says l'chachila twice a day. V'im lo batka b'chol hashiva ela pa'amachas lo shabatka b'yom rishon shel shiva o b'yom hashvi o b'echo me'yem tzayim ne'ach shabatka b'yom shekodim hashiva matzah Torah Allah. Then he starts getting into the real b'diabetz. So it's so interesting. He skips a step, right? You'd imagine the mechaber would say l'chachila there are two dayans. Some say yesh omrim pamayim b'chol yom, and some say pamachas b'chol yom. And b'diavet, okay, we'll get to that discussion once during all seven, day one and seven. Okay, we can get to the b'diavet discussion. We will believe that very soon. Somebody does. He doesn't even mention one time a day. L'chachila pamayim b'chol yom, achashach shav samach b'nei hashmashos. Then he goes straight into the b'diavet. So that's a little bit strong, no? So Rabbi Savlovsky points out in the Sefer that many poskim allow one a day in a case of concern for irritation, while his lashon, some rabbanim even allow it under normal circumstances, without any footnotes or quoting who the many poskim or some rabbanim are, right? So someone said to me, I was just learning with the chassan last night, actually. He said, I try to tell the chassan at the beginning, I'm assuming you know nothing, right? And when we do the chassan, I'm assuming you know nothing about hilchos nida. Even if some of the single guys want to do chassan class with me, I'm going to assume you know, even though you sat through 100 shiurim, I'll assume you know nothing, right? That's the way you're supposed to assume. So the guy said, I actually read Rabbi Sablovsky's whole sefer. So, okay, I'm still going to assume you know nothing. So, knowing that he knows still, but that's the way you have to give a chassan class, because you don't want to You don't want there to be a hole in what you're teaching because you assumed that he already knew. So he said, but I had a problem with Rabbi Soloveitchik Sefer. It's like you can never tell when he really paskins. Like, yes, you can. you can usually very easily tell just on how he formulates. You know, when he says, and many rabbanim think without footnoting, that's him, right? Meaning that means that he holds that way. So you just have to know, how Rabbi Feldman touched up how Rabbi Soloveitchik's shitas, are. So anyway, so when he says that many poskim allow one bedika a day in case of concern, so that for sure Rabbi Soloveitchik and everyone really would say some rabbanim even allow one bedika a day under normal circumstances. No, why you boys, Rav Willig, that's Rav Willig, right next door. That some rabbanim means Rav Willig and very loyal talmidim of Rav Willig who have the guts to go against what it says beferish in Shulchan Aruch, right? That it's pamayim b'chol yom. Rav Vosner writes, if you're going to do one a day, he says, and Rav Vosner acknowledges, he says, b'rishonim nira di'ikra b'dika yishal shachris shitchila sasfira. That if you can do one day, like Rabbi Willig recommends, it should be in the morning. If she can't do a bdika twice a day, she should do it in the morning. And he gives an example. Mu'uberes is normally a little drier. She's normally not doing bdikos, but sometimes you could have a mu'uberes who bled, and she has to do bdikos, and she's a little drier. It's difficult for her to do bdikos. So, okay. So then she could do. She should do it in the morning. The reason Rabbi Willig says to do one a day is not because he just passed in straight from the Rishonim and against the Shulchan Aruch, even though he does point that out. That Mi'ikra did most Rishonim seem to assume it's only the Taros and not Labayla, and therefore there's a lot of room over here. Plus, everyone agrees that at least B'di'evet, everyone agrees, it's not even a real B'di'evet, because once the Shulchan Aruch goes to B'di'evet, he starts describing things that are way more B'di'evet than one a day. So everyone agrees that it works for sure. And Rabbi Willig says, like most of Rabbi Willig's more unusual hilchos nida psakim, it's an experience psak. That most women, when they become aggravated and irritated and they cause dam, they cause bleeding themselves, it's because of that second bedika during the day. And usually there's like one seminal moment that like Rabbi Willig points to as like the time, that convinced him that he's right. So he talks about the time where a woman called him that she did a bedika in the afternoon. She may have scratched herself because she was very harried and frazzled and rushed and whatever. And he starts questioning the situation exactly, trying to figure out if it was a makkah. And it was mavur from the conversation that she did the bedika sitting in rush hour traffic on the Cross Bronx. So he said, if that a woman's going to do something stupid like that, so you have to assume everyone is idiots. You have to make he doesn't say it like that, but you have to just make a blanket that everyone does one bedika a day. Do it in the morning when you're Yishuv Hadas and you're calm and you don't have any. That's Rabbi Willig's psak. Okay, so it is what it is. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Agur that the bedikos should always be done dafka during the daytime. Sfiras Laila Lachma Sfira. And both Rabbi Soloveitchik and Rav Vosner point out that that's a very critical thing, because a lot of people don't realize this. Meaning everyone realizes they got to do the second bedika before Shkia. That everyone realizes. What about the morning bedika? Right, Vasikin has gotten kind of late. So the Mishnah Maseches Megillah says that the mitzvah sayom really lechatchila should be done after Netzach Hama. B'di'avad, it's okay after Amud Hashachar. But if a woman wakes up at 6:30 in the morning and gets her day started and does a bedika, and usually that's when she'll do it, she'll go to the bathroom and do a bedika. So very often, women are doing bedikos at a less than ideal time. They're doing it before Netzach Hama. They don't even think twice about it. It's morning time. Right? So that's something that's kedai to think about. By Vestos also, by the way. A woman very often will wake up in the morning, go to the bathroom, and she'll discover that she saw that. So we go baser the shas ha-discovery and not, calculating when it must have happened during the night. So most women will say, so it's a daytime. If we follow sunrise to sunset, so that's not a daytime. So that's where the app helps, right? If it knows where you are, it should do the calculation for you.
We follow most or dates for that one.
So don't we follow dates? Don't we follow sunrise? I think so.
You saw that?
Yeah.
No?
that if it starts before nades and ends after nades, whatever.
Right, so it's nades. Yeah. So,
Should you do a bedikah before nades?
It works b'di'eved, but best is to do b'di'eved after nates. So that's the hara that both Rabbi Sabalovsky, on a recent shiur, he was giving a shiur about, what was it, vacation halachos? I don't know how that came up, but that somehow that came up in that shiur. And Rav Ozner points it out in the shiur Shevet HaLevi. Yeah. Okay, so that's as far as how many b'dikos l'charchila. So two a day l'charchila during the daytime for 7 days. Obviously, if even not a major shasokhak, even like a minor, inconvenience, you would say you could rely on Rabbi Willig's one a day, because all the poskim say one a day works for sure, and it's not, while the Shulchan Aruch didn't categorize one a day as l'chadchila, he also didn't categorize it as b'di'evet. Right, so there's something to that as well. Shulchan Aruch just skips it. He skips the idea of one a day. So how many bedikos b'di'evet? So the Mishnah Daf Samech Chesem Beis tells us Hazava Hazava Shabbat Kasam Yom Rishon Matzal Tor Yom Shviyu Matzal Tor V'Shar Kol Yom Lo Batku. The Machlokes Tanam we just spoke about. Rabbi Lezer Omer Areil B'Cheskes Tara. Perfectly good. You have a good Shivanakim. Rabbi Shua Omer Eilem El Yom Rishon Yom Shviyu B'Vad. You only have day 1 and 7. Rabbi Kiva, meaning you have 2 days, you have 5 more to go. Rabbi Kiva, no, you have 1 day. Day 7 counted, and then you got 6 more to go. Gemara paskins like Rabbi Lazar, which is unusual in its own right, but the Gemara comes to Psak Halach like Rabbi Lazar. The Gemara asks, Yibayiluhu, Zav v'zav Shabbat Gazim Yom Rishon v'yom Shmini Umatzu Tahar V'shar Yom Lo Batku L'Rabbi Lazar Mahu. What would Rabbi Lezer say if she did a bedikah day 1 and day 8 and not any of the intervening days? Meaning, day 1 can't combine with day 8 as part of the same Shiva Nikim because they're not within the same 7 days. So do you say that you need Tchilasan Vesofan, you need to bookend your your 7 days? Or is it good enough that you just had Tchilasan even though you don't have Sofan? Rav Amar, so Rav says good enough. Rabbi Chanina says no, not good enough. So the Gemara then clarifies that according to Rav, if you could have tchilasan af pishen sofan, you can also have sofan af pishen tchilasan. You could have day 7 alone would also work. Wow. So according to Rav, day 1 or day 7, because we pass on like Rabbi Elazar, day 1 and day 7 works. The Gemara has a Shaila, does day 1 work without day 7? And the Gemara says, yes, according to Rav, day 1 works without day 7, and day 7 works without day 1. The Rush quotes a Ravid that we pass on like Rav, and the Rush says, I agree with that Ravid. The Rambam, Yisribiya Perikvav Alachav Beis, the Rashba, also pass on like Rav. So, Huch's Krav Bisuri, okay, it's not against Shmuel over here, but we have Rav, Paskening this way, the Rambam, the Rush, the Ravid, the Rashba, all like Rav. Day 1 or day 7. Significant group of Rishon. The Ravid says, the next step he says, what about if it's just a day in the middle? It's not day 1 or day 7. She only did a B'dikah day 4. So what do we do about that? So says the Ravid, Lo shamati, I don't have a tradition. Umisvara lekula, but minasvara. I mean, what difference does it make if it's day 1, day 7, or any other days? He tries to bring a raya. So the Baal Amar points out that of course a day in the middle would work. That's better than a day on the extremes. Meaning you're trying to establish that this time period was Torah. So the extremes, like you're very far away from the other extreme. I mean, if you're on day 1, that's very far away from day 7. Day 4 is very close to day 7 and to day 1. So it's a better, it should be a better raya. But he still recommends yesh lachush lahachmir tzvicha b'dikah b'tichlasan obisofan. But since we don't have a tradition about it, meaning that they didn't have a tradition from the Gaon and from the Amoraim, so they didn't know. So he said, okay, so let's stick with what we know. So what is the Torah, right? So Torah says, why should it be any worse. A day in the middle would also work. Wow. Rabbi Sarlovsky explains that the machlokas is really about the purpose of bedikos. I mean, it's really a machlokas in terms of what the lumdas of bedikos are. If the purpose is to fulfill the mitzvah svira, so ideally you should be sofer each of the 7 days, but b'diavad, a bookmark a day will sort of set the tone or establish a closing of your svira. But maybe in the middle that doesn't do it, meaning the bookend days are going to be the days that sort of like establish that, okay, now all of these days were a svira. It represents the rest of the days. But if the bedikos are to verify that she stopped bleeding, then the Rashi would make sense that there should be no difference between the bookend days and the middle day. And either of them, maybe the middle day is more powerful because it's closer to the other days. So if it's about the mitzvah svira, so you could hear such a svara that you want to establish it at the beginning or at the very end, wrap it up. But if it's about just seeing that she's not bleeding, like the metzias that she's not bleeding, so then probably a middle day is just as good. Okay, so that's all that shita in Rishonim, the Rush, but the Rambam, that the Rush. Yeah.
Why can't we make the eighth day like the seventh day? Meaning, why can't we make the eighth day go 7 days beforehand? Meaning, if we could, if it was only a bedika on the seventh day and not on the first day, and we can count the past 7 days, so why can't we do that with the eighth day as well?
If there was
no bedika, meaning there was.
If after the Hefsik you went 7 days with nothing,
and you had on the eighth day, why can't you?
Good, that's a major kasha in the Achronim. Right? The Achronim discusses. We'll get to it hopefully. The Smak says that since it's not clear what the halacha should be, so he says Roy lahachmir k'divrei Rabbi Chanina shloi yosu mechamishiyam bin bedika lebedika, that we should be machmir like Rabbi Chanina. There shouldn't be more than 5 days between one bedika and the other, and you need the two bookend bedikas. You need day one and day seven, and you should only have 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 in between. So Beis Yosef quotes that it goes Maimonides b'shem Ramban b'shem Rabbein Simcha agree with the Smag, and therefore v'kivin the kalhari rabusa b'safka luhu ein lo hakel b'davar shu safik yisr karis. So Beis Yosef says, I know Rashba, Rosh, Rambam, all the usual suspects say day one or day seven, but there are significant Rishonim that say you need both, and it's an Issur Karis that we're playing with over here, so you need both. So the Shulchan Aruch writes what you'd expect once he says that. So he says, really, if you do Pamacha, Slosha, Batka, Yom Rishon, Shavu, Yom Shvi, Obech, Neyam Sayyi, any one day should count. Okay, we'll get to that later. If she only does bedika day 8, you got to go, day 8 becomes your new day 1, and she's got to count forward. And some say that you need day 1 and day 7. So normally, stam and yesh omrim? Stam. And why does he make it a stam over here? Because it's the Rambam and the Rashba and the Rush. Of course he's going to make that the stam. But then, vein lahakel. And why does he have to add vein lahakel? Because normally the halach is kestam. So he's telling you, not over here. You can't pass like the stam. Wow. And then the Ramah just says, by the way, the bidikas have to be during the daytime. La'ora yom, not la'ora ner. Okay, fine. Bidiyavra works la'ora ner. Okay, one second. So the Beis Yosef says like this. So Ein Lahakel. So what does Ein Lahakel mean exactly? Maisa Shaya Kachaya. I was sitting and learning with Rav Rosner, probably, I don't know, before he made Aliyah. So he was like 12 years ago, let's say, 13 years ago. And he gets a phone call. We used to sit by the back window of the DRS Space Manager where there was reception. So he gets a phone call from a woman that she did a day one bedika. For today was her day 7, it was in the winter time, so we were learning it was already after Shkia, it was after Tzeis probably already, and she forgot to do day 7, she didn't do any bedikas in between. She did day 1, and that's it. Why did you only do day 1? Why were you only doing day 1 and day 7? That's what my Kala teacher told me to do. That day 1 and day 7, l'charchila. That is not uncommon. It used to not be uncommon, thank God. Achshudara, and now Kala teachers know a lot more, at least in our circles. Kala teachers know a lot more, but there were Kala teachers that, you remember, for those who attended when I discussed the art of Psak, you know, sometimes people hear there's such a thing as day 1 and day 7, in Shas Archak, there's such a thing as they, and they just like, just automatically say like, L'charchila. Yeah, you can just do that, L'charchila, no problem. So it's not no problem, right? You really have to do each day. So this woman, she did day one and day seven. Okay, she already did it, we're not going to make her read, but she missed day seven now. And Rabbi Raza said this is a case where there's serious shalom bias issues that he's aware of, and it's going to be, World War III is going to break out. How could you be so absent-minded? How could you be such an idiot? You know, like this was not going to be good. Which, by the way, that should never, those words should never come out of your mouth, right? Obviously, okay. So he calls Rabbi Willig, and he tells Rabbi Willig the situation. And, you know, because when you have smaller shoulders, you look for the people with the broader shoulders, right? So Rabbi Willig says, Rabbi Razin, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? So the Shulchan Aruch says, in the Hakam, but he quotes the Deir Rishon of the Rashba, the Rambam, you know, Razin and the Sugya. So Rabbi Willig says, so you got to figure it out, whether you could be Mekel. So Rabbi Razin said, so can I be Mekel? He said, Shulchan Aruch says, in the Hakam, you have to figure out if Rabbi Razin says, Yesh la Hakam. That was it, Gwen Paskin. So Rabbi Razin was Mekel. And like he said that, like he was having like nightmares for like a week afterwards, like the machshel and the sukkaris, you know, because Shulchan Aruch says in the hakel because of the chrash, the sukkaris is very chamor. I think he saw Rabbi Willig a week later and he said, I would have been Mekel, I just thought you needed to pass on this. You know, so he like had like a little bit of weight lifted off of his shoulders. But this is a serious matter, meaning Ein L'Hakel, it's not something that we take lightly. Rav Vazner writes, you know, on this Ein L'Hakel, he says, where do I have it here? Shulchan Aruch says Ein L'Hakel, there are certain circumstances. Oh, then, not just Rav Vazner, the Chassam Sofer in Yerdeya Kufay and Ches, is called Ben Pesachei Tshuva and Sefkat Zayin, a woman did a bedik on day one and only day one only, and she went to the mikveh and already had tashmish. Okay, then you rely on the day of Rishon. He would not have been mekel if the one bedik had been in the middle of the shivanikim, because that we have the shitas Rishon that are machmir about that. But Rav Avadya and Taras Abayi says he would be mekel if it was done even in the middle of shivanikim, and they already had tashmish. Chachmas Sadim writes, "B'makom igun she'enu yichal liitar efshar lahakel k'dei rishona." Like these are serious situations where they already had tashmish. It's makom igun. The other case, Pesachei Tshuva quotes, if a woman did a bedika during ben hashmashos of day seven, so we'll allow her go to the mikveh with a sfek sveika. Right, that maybe day one without day seven is good enough, and maybe you actually chop day seven by doing it during ben hashmashos. I had a shayla. You tell me what you think. A woman, and this is why this shayla is illustrative of why it's so important that there be a relationship with the couple, that they, aside from the fact that if there's a real genuine relationship, they won't be afraid to ask shaylas. Aside from that, which just came up yesterday, someone came over to me yesterday after Shabbos, and he said that he and his wife were home yesterday afternoon. And all the kids were out of the house, and one thing led to another, and there was tashmish in the afternoon, Shabbos afternoon, and he found some dam on his hand afterwards. So he said, my wife was terrified of me asking the shayla even to begin with, because like it's so embarrassing that to have tashmish in the middle of the afternoon or whatever. So he said, but I told her that I have such a good relationship with the Rav that I want to. So the kind of thing that he wouldn't have been comfortable asking, to just stop and ask. Okay, so it's important that you have a relationship with people, but that's beside the point. So I had a shayla where a woman called from the mikveh. She was at the mikveh, and she realized she forgot to do bedik on day seven. So she did days one through six and not seven. So what's the halacha if you did days one through six and not seven? So what do you have to do?
One more day.
Wait till the next night. Right, so it's pashut, and it's not even like a major shas and chak. Wait one more day. So that's what I would tell any woman that called with that shayla. Now this woman had a diagnosis that ended up causing her to have a major reconstructive surgery on her body that was very, very traumatic for her. ad kitei kach that right after her surgery, she wouldn't let anyone, she couldn't even bathe herself, she wouldn't let anyone see her other than her husband. Not even a nurse. She wouldn't allow a nurse to bathe her. She was like extremely, extremely traumatized by the surgery. For her to go to the mikveh in this new body that doesn't really feel like hers is like a huge challenge. Like she builds herself up in advance, you know, to be able to have the courage to go to the mikveh. For her to come back the next night, it's not going to happen. It will take her a few more days to come back to the mikveh. So, you know, you call the hotline. I missed a day 7 bedika. What do I do? Answer's pasha. You'll go tomorrow. You know, it's not the end of the world. One day is not going to kill you, right? But in that situation, I don't know. I thought I had to be mekel. Yeah.
Should they have kashrut for that night, or wait a night?
No, I was not the best. Once you go to the mikveh, you can have attachment. That's what I would think. But it's just, I don't know that I gave the right psak. Maybe I was too emotional in giving the psak. But that's what I thought. I think I may have mentioned, when it came time for her to bathe, Rabbi Willig was makel to let the husband do it with a glove, because he thought it was mamish b'koch nefesh. She was in such a state. Okay. Yeah. So Pesach Tshuva quotes in Nadbi, one more point on the question. Pesach Tshuva quotes in Nadbi Yehuda, who says that if she missed day 7, she could do B'dika on day 8 and go to the mikveh then, right? That's the halach we're talking about. If she missed more than 5 consecutive days, it's a total setback. So if she did day 1 and forgot day 7, or did day 1 and 2, but not days 3 through 8, she's going to have to start again. But if she did day 1 and day 3, she can do day 8, even though it turns out that she didn't have a first and seventh of Zayin Nikiyim, because if her day 8 becomes her new day 7, then her day 2 becomes her new day 1. She didn't do B'dika on that day, but nevertheless, that's okay. So apparently a middle day can create a bridge between day 1 and day 7, which is like wild, right? Meaning, if day 8 becomes her day 7, day 2 really becomes her day 1, and she didn't do B'dika day 1. She didn't on day 2. Meaning she did B'dika 1, 3, and 7. But that's good enough, says Pesach Tshuva. It's enough to create a bridge to make it all count as one unit. That's why, by the way, when we have to minimize bedikos, which happens, you know, people have to ask the shayla. You know, she's irritated. She has this, that. You know, shas adchak. So first thing we say is one a day. Do one a day. If they say no, even that, I'm nervous. It's not going to work out. Okay, so maybe skip a couple of days in the middle. But we don't jump straight to do day 1 and day 7, even though la halacha, that works, l'chaladeos, that works, la halacha, we first say day 1, day 3, day 7, or day 1, day 4, day 7. Why? Because what if she forgets day 7? So you're going to need this Pesach Tshuva to rely on that she could do day 8, and then the day 8 will become the new day 7, and that could and the day 3 will serve as the bridge, and we'll be able to work. So that's always what we're, you know, what Posek we're going to say. It takes a lot to get a Posek to say just day 1 and day 7, and not one of the middle days, because it's just nerve-wracking. What if she forgets? Especially if she's not doing B'dikos every day, she's very likely to forget. And I just want to emphasize again what we emphasized in that shir about the art of Pesach. 2 weeks post childbirth, we do not start giving kulas for day 1, day 7. People came to me in Eretz Yisrael, they heard that shir, and they said, you should take it down from Yud Torah. It's a busha to the yeshiva that people think that that's the halacha, right? It's not, that is not the halacha. Meaning, you have to let a woman recover a little bit after childbirth to immediately assume that she's automatically entitled to every kula in the book to wear big dates of onam in day 1 and day 7, 2.5 weeks after childbirth is not correct.
That we first say day 1, day 3,
day 7 only after day 1, day 7. So that doesn't sound like barring the concern that she'll forget there's a hadafa and sack. So why not just tell her that you can either do day 1, day 3, and day 7, or day 1 and day 7, just know that if you forget day 7, you will have to... Yeah, because that still relies on her to remember. Meaning, she's going to make that call. So what you would say is that, do you think... You'd want to get her on the same page as you. Do you think it's day one, day three, or day four? Right, lav dafka three, day three, or day four, and day seven. Do you think that that would be okay? Usually she'll say, yeah, I think that will work. I think that'll be okay. I have a few days in between, I think that'll work. If she says, no, it's just not going to work, so then you say, okay, day one, day seven, but really, really important that you not forget those days. And you have to just, like, emphasize, you're not going to set an alarm, tell your husband to remind you, like, really important that you not forget those days, because otherwise it's going to cause problems.
Okay, two questions. The first is, with respect to the Beit Yosef, who's concerned about the Isser Karet, so the whole school of Rishonim, of the major Rishonim, aren't concerned about that.
No. I mean, the Beis Yosef is analyzing Machlokes Rishonim. They're arguing Lahalacha, as the Beis Yosef says. So what should we do when we have a major Machlokes Rishonim Lahalacha? Our Netiyah in Hilchas Nida is going to be to be Machmir. Not probably in a B'dievet situation, right? We know not in a B'dievet, but, well, no, actually, meaning even in a B'dievet situation. Well, not in a B'dievet situation that she's already gone to the mikvah or whatever, but if you're going to advise people of what to do, how many B'dikos to do, so our netiya is to be machmir, because nida is a very serious matter.
Okay. And the second question is, what's driving you to be very anti these kulas for post-pregnancy?
I think people have to realize that that it's normal that a woman bleeds after a pregnancy, and she's still going to be tummy for a little while after pregnancy. That's what it is. To push her to start doing bedikos and aggravating herself. Meaning the right etza is, if you did a bedikah 2 weeks later and you found that there's dam, wait another while, wait a little while, wait till it's clear. Don't. I think it's an unhealthy pressure
unhealthy pressure for what?
For women to try to become Torah as soon as they can when they're not really ready.
But why is that different than any other circumstance of a woman trying to be Torah?
Well, first of all, she can actually have tashmish in every other circumstance, right? And there's nothing, and her body didn't just go through a major trauma. Over here, her body just went through childbirth, and she's not going to be able to have tashmish until 6 weeks later anyway. So, and you're really gaming the system of, you know, like she's actually bleeding. You know, you're just covering it up. But when you have a woman who has a maka, and therefore it's got, well, she's actually bleeding. There's blood from childbirth. So I think that's important.
What was the story again to be Mikhail if she forgets the eighth, the seventh day, and she didn't count at all?
Because really, day one alone should work, right? Like the first day in Shulchan Aruch, Ein Lahakel. But maybe with a woman who's going to have a hard time coming back to the mikvah, and it's going to be a whole.
Well, let's say that there's no issue like that, so you have to recount.
So you do one extra day, just one extra day, yeah. Because again, even if you just did day one, day three, and day eight, it would be good enough. Certainly, if you did days one through six and day eight, it would be good enough. Right, so normally it just sets you back a day.
Halachically, is the case of the mikvah better than Rabbi Rosner's case? I mean, the fact that she had 2 through 6, does that change anything? Or she didn't have 7, so that's halach?
Probably doesn't change anything. But I thought the Shasad Chak was even greater. But again,
the thing is in the middle didn't really change the psak.
Right. So tomorrow we're going to have to get into what exactly the mitzvah of Sfira is, wearing white during Shiva Nikiyam, the idea of being conscious of Shiva Nikiyam, the chule. So we'll pick up as a shem with that tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.